the midweek drive team. Four words which signify...
Well, it's supposed to be signifying something anyway. I don't know. Life continues. Thanks to, obviously, the Sky News team. Welcome to the Midweek Drive, when actually the Midweek Drive team are on location somewhere. I'll tell you where. We're actually in London at present, effectively doing our piece for a Royal Television Society event called Ageism in the Media, which we'll probably talk about at length when we get back. But that doesn't mean that the show does not continue. Of course it continues. And we're delighted to, as ever on a Wednesday, welcome the true, the amazingly talented soul that actually is Nashville's finest, of course, Canadian, the wondrous Cameron Tilbury. How are you, Cameron?
Hey, I'm good. How's everything there?
Well, I presume it's all well, given that this is a pre-record that we actually put together a few days ago, Han. So, you know, I'm destroying the illusion of the whole system there. I'm looking at a fabulous release, British Television, A New Frontier for Nashville's Maple Star Music and Media. It's all about international, and the Smith and Rogers Country Show will soon start airing in the United Kingdom from Sunday, December the 1st, and be airing weekly at 11 a.m. that's GMT, nationally on Sky Channel 191 and Freesat 400. So exciting times, as revealed last week, of course.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. And what we hope to do is kind of expand on what you and I have been doing for a few years now and try and take people inside Nashville. I mean, the Smith and Rogers show, they're doing live performance around the UK. There'll be videos. But our little segment, Live from Nashville, is going to be taking people inside. We'll interview artists, some big names. You know, we've got Lynn Anderson, Big Kenny from Big and Rich, some developing names like Jessica Ridley, who we're familiar with here at Siren. And we're hoping to take people into recording studios and Country Music Association events. Just a big, fun time, I think. And we hope people will tune in and like it.
I noticed you're posing very gracefully with Shayla Paz, a young lady who sort of, you know, obviously in top form there. Obviously important that we sort of promote the next generation of country stars, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, country music is worldwide, and there are so many different types, and you have people that say, well, you know, that's pop-sounding country, and that's not country, and I think country music's a very big tent, so we hope to show people, you know, kind of the new pop Taylor Swift side of country is some of the more established traditional side artists, and Shayla and I have been working together for a while now. She is a terrific host. She does a lot of great interviews, so she'll be doing a lot of the interviewing, and the both of us will be doing things around Nashville and capturing it to show people. So Shayla and I are really looking forward to it, and hope everybody can tune in.
And yet, of course, Shayla has not made her Midweek Drive debut. You know, surely something's wrong with that picture.
Well, she'll kill me for saying this, but, you know, I've been kind of discouraging it. Because, well...
Uh-huh. Go on.
Actually, discouraging it isn't the right word.
Right.
I'm trying to prepare her a little bit. Shayla is terrific, and I just say that all in complete fun. Shayla is originally from Cuba, so again, she brings that whole global thing to what we're doing. And I'll have to get her to speak slowly, so...
Hey, listen, if you want us to go into West Side Story Cuban routines, we'll do that, you know? Just sort of throw that in there. I won't go the way of the cigar, but that's a different line entirely. You have selected, well, it's not just one, but we've got two fabulous pieces, as far as this week is actually concerned. And it's Philip Dane Powell. Dane as opposed to Dan, presumably, that's up first.
Actually this week we're featuring a couple of more established names in the business. Philip Dane Powell is a guy that we're just starting to work with, terrific songwriter. People may remember him from Billy Ray Cyrus's band, back when Billy Ray was playing a lot. And Philip lives in West Virginia, and we're just starting to work together. And we hope you like this song. This is one of his favorites that he's written and performs. This is called Save Me a Place at the Table on Siren FM.
Mountain of a man to me, standing in his army green, Never thought I'd see my daddy cry. He held my mama in his arms, said, "Gotta keep her safe from harm. This won't be my last goodbye." And he said, "Save me a place at the table, and I'll be home just as soon as I am able. You love the life my way, I'll be back someday. Save me a place at the table." Daddy finally made it home. His only boy was nearly grown. Drama come for me, she's mine. Save me a place at the table. Save me a place at the table.
Kind of reminiscent of Dawn's tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. But at least it's probably more fulfilling, actually, if you get a place at the table saved, because obviously we have to eat. Splendid! Absolutely wonderful and quite evocative of an sort of whimsical nature that kind of will permeate through this autumn season. I don't know if you want to use that as a quote, Cameron. You probably don't, but yeah, we can have it in any case.
Hey, we'll take what we can get.
Well, it's all very important, and we continue to do that. Of course, MapleStar Music and Media is continuing its world domination. You obviously mentioned a Cuban co-presenter from that point of view, but now, of course, offices in Kitchener, Ontario, in Canada, in London, yep. Of course, and, of course, where we are talking to you now, which is Nashville itself, really. So watch out, Bob Harris and Company. Cameron's on the case, clearly.
There you go. Yeah, I'm really proud of what we've done. It's taken a while, and we're still growing and still finding our feet and our place. But, you know, we started things, the basis of what we do, we started in England and, you know, moved over here 2.5, almost 3 years ago, and kind of picked up and rearranged and built, and we're really pleased to be back in the UK with having an office there as well as having a TV.
But Cameron,
show.
You never left the UK. We've had you on the Midweek Drive on a weekly basis, so
right.
You know, it's we hang on and continue with that supporting because we're loyal. That's the key thing, you know, loyal and sort our way through that. Whether we ever get rewarded, I don't know, but still, what the hell. It's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio service. Still to come on the show, we'll be speaking to BAFTA award-winning director Graham Harper, really getting his thoughts on the upcoming Doctor Who anniversary package that's there, because he, of course, is the only classic director who's worked on both seasons of Doctor Who. We've got a fascinating interview with one of, well, in fact, the sole surviving Grumblewees, that would be Robin Colville. They'll be talking about a Grumblebee event that's taking place this very night. That's the 20th, of course, of November, actually in Darlington, and it's a tribute to, again, his former partner within the Grumbleweeds, of course. I don't know if you, did you ever come across the Grumbleweeds, Cameron?
No.
Well, it's 80, well, over 11 years of Radio 2 comedy shows that the Grumbleweeds actually put together. And we'll also be speaking to John Jarrold, science fiction author, about his recent experiences at the World Fantasy Convention and also what's happening in Britain next year for the first time in an awfully long time. But that's still to come on the show. Plus, of course, Michelle Monroe has got, I'm going to reveal it. I'm going to actually, as it's yourself, Cameron, I'm going to say what the Michelle Monroe, Matt Monroe track is for this event on the Midweek Drive. Are you ready for this, or do you want us just to keep it as a surprise?
No, I'm ready, because I'm a big Matt Monroe fan.
So. Well, it's a rare version that Matt actually has recorded of him singing the classic from Midnight Cowboy, Nielsen's Everybody's Talking. Matt Monroe
oh,
sings Everybody's Talking. Yes, coming out around about 6 o'clock. Assuming the computer's functioning. You know, I don't know. I'll probably be somewhere in the South Bank at this stage. That's South Bank London, as opposed to South Bank Lebanon. Easily sort of sorted out. We just don't know where we're going. Anyway, let's move on to the next musical selection for I'm Your Good Self, because we did think, yeah, all right. I mean, normally we sort of package things off and then we're sort of rushing off to Jersey or other parts, etc.
Yep.
Let's just take a few moments to sort of just breathe. You know, it's the midweek drive. Take time. Relax. If you want any traffic and travel information, it's a pre-recorded program, so don't come looking to us. But I'm sure, actually, if there were any emergency aspects there, then Jeff Thompson and the team would have let you know. So just relax. All's well with the world, and you don't need to have any scary scarecrows to actually scare you. Anyway, that's a link. Carry on.
Nice segue. This next guy we're going to play has been one of Nashville's top writers for a very long time. His songs have sold over 25 million copies, multi-platinum cuts on the works of artists like Conway Twitty, Ricky Van Shelton, Kenny Chesney, Winona, Colin Ray, Confederate Railroad, Chris LeDoux, Randy Travis, Trace Adkins, Pam Tillis, Christopherson, Joan Anderson, tons. In 2002, Bernie achieved million airplay status on his song. It was a number one hit called Daddy Never Was the Cadillac Kind. He's written with everyone from Garth Brooks to Duane Eddy, and performed with people like Mac Davis, Guy Clark, Alabama, just to name a few. He's had a bunch of cuts lately for great artists like Jimmy Van Zandt, Montgomery Gentry, Mark Wills, Tracy Lawrence. This guy is a songwriting machine, and we'd like to play something new for him. He's just kind of embarking on his solo career, and we're excited to have this track. This is Bernie Nelson and Scarecrow on Siren FM.
Here the rain falls on the scarecrow, on that scarecrow. Let it rain.
And it's supposed to be very cold, as opposed to just wet and windy in the normal sort of traditional British UK weather way. I won't bother asking what the question, what the weather's like in Nashville, because, you know, as I say, this is a pre-record. But I will mention, obviously, Nikki Wells, who is hopefully listening. She may not be. She may be in a whole world. Penny Evans, likewise. And, of course, Cameron. You know, I can't go around the team saying, so, Ed, what did you think of that? What key was that in? Or, you know, Katie Grimerson's shifted to the morning, midweek drive, morning edition show, so she'll be with us again tomorrow morning, all being well. Hannah and Tasha, well, they went off to actually be Pudsey Bear or something. It's very strange, very peculiar. I think it's probably some sort of alien invasion thing. But, you know, anyway, I think we've coped extraordinarily well, actually, for the last few moments. It's coming up to, if to memory serves, and if all the time is synchronised, around about 18 minutes past 5 o'clock. Actually, no, 20 past 5 o'clock here on Siren 107.3 FM. Graham Harper is coming up. I will say, though, I was going to say those last two questions, but that was a good tune from a songwriting machine.
There you go.
Yeah, there we are, you see. It's a little bit of endorsement and product placement there. Songwriting machine. I'll have to work out on that particular thing. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this slightly expanded live from Nashville version here on the Midweek Drive today, Cameron Tilbury?
I certainly have. It's always special. And I mean that in a good way, not, you know, the other way.
Yeah, well, precisely so. So are you up for joining us again next time, next week, same time?
Let's do it live.
Exactly. Can you guess the intro, Cameron? What's this? You've only got 10 seconds. 9. Mike and the Mechanics and...
Oh, there you go.
The Living Years.
No. That's it. Every generation blames the one before, and all of their frustrations come beating on your door. I know that I'm a prisoner to all my father held so dear,
know that I'm a hostage to all his hopes and fears. I just wish I could have told him in the living years. More crumpled bits of paper filled with imperfect thoughts, still to conversations. I'm afraid that's all we've got. You say you just don't see it. He says it's perfect sense. You just can't get agreement in this present tense. We all talk a different language, talking in defense.
Say it loud.
Say it loud.
Stuff, Mike and the Mechanics and the Living Years.
Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you, go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Quite right, too. Okay, it's the Midweek Drive, a pre-record, actually, one which we put together a little bit earlier because we're currently down in London, all being well, unless something most unusual actually happened. Doing a debating session with the Royal Television Society and chairing the notion of ageism in the media. Somebody who's always not just young in heart, but also young in spirit and also a genuine dynamo in every sense of the word is, of course, our ace director, Graham Harper. Graham, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Thank you very much. What a nice introduction. I'm really well, thanks very much.
Now, unlike, of course, Cameron Tilbury, who astonishingly had never heard of the grumbleweeds, presumably you have.
I have. I don't know much about the grumbleweeds. I never watched the grumbleweeds.
11 years of Radio 2 shows at lunchtime and beyond, and they're still there. Anyway, it's a tribute to the late Graham Grumbleweed, hosted by his former show business partner, Robin Colville, which is taking place at the Darlington Civic this very night. That would be Wednesday the 20th of November, and we're speaking obviously to Robin Colville in the second part of the programme. Anyway, point being, he was very much sort of saying that, you know, variety is still in existence, and the variety shows of the 21st century are shows like The X Factor and so on. Do you agree, or do you think that's not the same as Opportunity Knocks in any way, shape or form?
No, I agree with him. They are the variety shows that have been missing for many, many years. People always love variety shows, but lots of television heads of departments decided they didn't, so it never happened for about 10 years or so. But I think something like Strictly Come Dancing is really much closer to the variety shows of, the last century. Because of the dancing, because they're singing, because there's a great band, because they have entertaining singers come on as guests, etc. And that's lovely entertainment with great dancing. And I think that's really going back to what was really big in the 60s, 70s and 80s.
And let's face it, we're not going to get a revival of the black and white minstrel show in the foreseeable future. No, don't go.
I think so, ever.
No, precisely. Mind you, they are still available on YouTube. It's quite astounding. You just think, how did we ever actually sort of think this was appropriate? Never mind. I won't go into a rendition of Mummy, Mummy, Which is a different line entirely. Let us progress, because coming up tomorrow, of course, as far as this show is concerned, being the 21st of November, we've actually got the docudrama, or the kind of history of going back to David Bradley portraying William Hartnell in How Doctor Who All Started. I can't believe, Graham, you can even recall the original episodes of Doctor Who and An Earthly Child on the 23rd of November, but do you have any recollection of it at all yourself?
I do. I remember watching it. I don't remember in any detail, and to be honest, I have never seen other than any excerpts they've ever shown, you know, quickly in the history of Doctor Who's or whatever. But I do remember, yes, I'm very excited.
So allowing for that, I've got to ask the question, given that obviously David Bradley is portraying William Hartnell and Waris Hussain is being, I can't remember who's playing Waris Hussain, but, you know, when they get around to doing a docudrama of the Caves of Androzani, which actor would you like to have portray yourself, Graham?
I'd tell you, I'd like to play me, because he'd probably be old enough by the time they ever get around to doing that, which I don't think will ever happen. Now I've got to remember his name, the gingerhead guy from Harry Potter.
Oh, Rupert Grint.
I think he would be brilliant, yes, because he's quite cheerful.
Rupert Grint as Graham Harper. Now, there we are. Remember, you heard it first on the Midweek Drive here on Siren FM. Let's move on to what you're currently doing, which, of course, is Holby City, and life continues as there. Is it going to be as exciting as ever in terms of the elements that Holby City brings to the world?
Oh, I hope so. I haven't read the script yet, so I'll start reading on Monday, because I start production on Monday. I have no idea, but it's usually really, really well written. The dialogue is quite great. I think it's scintillating. Really good characterizations, and the actors are just supreme. So I like both Casualty and Holby. I think the performances are just smashing.
Do we still have that notion that Holby City focuses more on the personal lives, whereas Casualty is the kind of actual events themselves, really, or do the stories blur over into each other?
Well, I think Casualty, the stories that come out of Casualty, excuse me, I'm going to just cough on them.
That's okay, we'll sort of talk through the whole thing whilst Graham, ever the professional, actually sort of coughs off air as opposed to on air. Very good.
Rude. I forgot what we were saying.
In terms of the strands of Holby City, is Holby City more a kind of personality-led setup in terms of the background?
Yeah, well, I think it's difficult. They do merge. I think both programs kind of do a bit of both, if you know what I mean. But I don't know if this is the policy, but Holby City appears to be about the people themselves and the cases that come in, although they go into some depth, and sometimes the characterization of those characters is big. It's usually so because of the effect it will have on our main principal artists who we're really interested in. So it's the effects that they have on those artists in their personal and the professional lives at the hospital. But with the Casualty, there's a kind of arc of story going on for all the characters throughout the whole of the 20 episodes or 40 episodes, 40 I think it is, a year. The individual stories of cases coming in or the action that happens out on the road on the when the ambulance crew first arrive and then what you see before that plus that, it is those people, it is their story and how our principals react and work with them, because the stories tend to be about that incident or those two or three incidents in the story, if that makes sense.
Are there ever any times, Graham, where you're tempted to actually say, I worked with this kind of angle with the Royal, and I want to actually put a kind of Royal theme into Holby City?
Oh, do you know the Royal? That's really interesting. I think the Royal was a mixture of really good storytelling about the people who were the victims who were coming into hospital, victims of accidents and injuries or whatever, who came into the hospital, and also the private lives and the professional lives with the principals, and they really did merge. The effects of the patients on the staff was enormous, so there was a complete mishmash of great storytelling, but still covering a major story within that story, if you see what I mean, within that episode. Now, that probably sounds, after me waffling on forever, exactly the same as I the other two. But it was, I found them much richer. I found The Royal much richer in its storytelling, because it really did center around all of them, as opposed to what the effect was on this person, that person. They all seemed to get involved with the people who were coming into hospital, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Casualty and Holby, that does happen, but it's much more professional.
Indeed, it just sort of just shows what, when you actually have that breadth of experience, how you can actually bring those kind of skills to the bear. I was fascinated to find that there's a suggestion that Quatermass, the Nigel Neal text, is going to be revitalised for the 21st century, very much a precursor to Doctor Who. Any thoughts on that? I mean, do you think it would be good to get Bernard, Professor Bernard Quatermass, back in top form with the British rocketry group and so on?
Oh, I think, and if they kept it in the period, even better, but that probably won't happen. That's where it will kind of just may go into the mishmash of modern and very well-made dramas. Mm. But if they keep to the period, that could be really, really exciting with the professor really, really with futuristic modern ideas way beyond his years, if you sort of mean. I think that could be really interesting.
Right, well, again, it's a possibility. Certainly Andrew Keir won't be around because I think he sort of moved on, but indeed John Mills, of course, late John Mills, who portrayed the updated Quatermass back in the 1970s, and an interesting thing which was often known for the huffety-puffety ringstone round, and they all went off to Stonehenge and were beamed up or sort of taken into all sorts of ways as a sort of shortened version of the whole piece. Peter Capaldi, I don't think we've actually had a chance to speak since he was actually cast as the next Doctor, you know, literally older than William Hartnell was when Bill Hartnell started playing the Doctor. He's certainly sort of put one sort of step in terms of becoming much of a more mature Doctor approach. What are your thoughts on Capaldi taking on board the role of the Doctor after Matt Smith?
I think we've had three, four young ones, if you then go to the,
We have Paul McGann, you have Christopher Eccleston.
Paul McGann, I was thinking Paul McGann, I can't remember the four brothers, it's difficult to remember which one was which.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so we've had four in a row, four young men, and I suspect now it's time to just have that maturity, the older character coming back in again, maybe a bit more grumpy and a bit more like the William Hartnell character, but obviously not him. I mean, now back, maybe he has to move on and become something else. I think Peter Capaldi as an actor is a fabulous choice, because he will bring so much of his experience as an actor and a human being to that character. Well, he shouldn't be a human being, but human kind of trait that we will all understand.
Have you worked with him before, or is it something which
never.
You... Yeah, well, there we are. I think the campaign
starts. I'd love to work with him. I think he's a terrific actor, and he seems a lot of fun, so that could be fun.
Well, classic stuff coming through on its own routine. I mean, I think, Graham, we've covered a whole range of things. Now, you might sort of say, where are the rest of the team? Where's the rest of the sort of midweek drivettes, etc.? Well, because this is a pre-record and it's been put together, I've explained, they're not around. So, you know, we just have to work our way through this and continue regardless.
we'll pretend they're all there. Hello?
No, I'm not going to do funny voices.
Doesn't work, does it?
It doesn't. You know, you've got to keep it real, got to keep it honest and work on that basis. As I say, coming up, we have Michelle Monroe and
I'd like to talk about that.
Well, I'm
so sorry. you finish yours and then I'm going to... Can I just come back in with one thing?
Go on, yes. After you.
I'm really spoiling your link. I do apologise.
No, not at all.
It's
a link that I already used before. It was simply saying how Matt Munro will be the selection for Michelle Munro this week is actually Matt Munro singing Everybody's Talking. Interesting, but there we are.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Listen, the thing I'm about to say will stop me from getting work for the rest of my life.
No.
But I'm going to say it because what you've just said I find interesting. Keeping it real and honest, for me, when I watch Strictly Come Dancing, I'm nothing to do with it. I am a professional director. I do work in television. But it seems to me, I cannot believe that they keep them all in those clothes for 24 hours and then on the Sunday night do a live program. This must be recorded on the Saturday night. Mm. And yet they refer to it when it goes out on the Sunday as the night before. Mm. They refer to Saturday. Mm. And I find that not dishonest, but I think it's economic and I think it's correct. But I find it odd that they would carry on the what does it matter? Does it matter to an audience? Not really, but it means it's been pre-recorded. It's been...
Exactly.
Any slip-ups that happen, we'll never see. Whereas when it's live on the Saturday night, it's wonderful. Mm.
Which is one of the reasons why we've kept in all our slip-ups deliberately for this pre-recording, just to ensure that, you know, we can keep it real with a slight sort of edge. You know, that's the bottom line. So, the questions remain the same, even though the date is the 20th of November, 2013. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today, Graham Harper?
I have. Very, very, very nice.
And, well, I'll actually just give you the advice that Jean Bruce Scott would actually share with the world, obviously from her base over in Los Angeles.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Thank you very much. So to the fore. Now, so I take it then, Graham, we can look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Yes, I would look forward to that.
Yes, you see, Graham Harper will return. Radicals, and you get what you give on Siren 107.3 FM. Now, if we've timed this right, and I need your help, dear listener, we might just be able to squeeze in one little tune before the news at 5:45 with the exquisite Siren News team. And that little bonus tune is... No, I think I have to. I can't sort of hold the note any longer. No, what the hey? It's Siren 107.3 FM. And to take us up to the news, we have the one and only fabulous group of John, Paul, George, and Ringo.